Well, good morning, everyone, and God bless you, and welcome here in Jesus' name. And I've been amazed at how the service and a couple of the songs really fit in with what I was going to talk on this morning, and even the memory verse about walking in the light. And so what I've been thinking about the last week or so, it's been going around in my mind. I wasn't for sure if I was going to preach on it until it got closer to the time, and that was all that was on my mind. So I said, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to preach on it. So, and that's on commitment. And when you think about our memory verse, and it talks about walking in the light, it takes commitment to walk in the light. And it takes commitment to do a lot of things that we do in life. And I'm going to talk about Titus a little bit right now, and as far as his airplane license that he has. I've never went and took training for airplane license, but from what I understand, it takes quite a bit of commitment to actually go all the way and get your license. And so there is commitment there. But let's just say that, so Titus has some commitment to his airplane license and to flying. He's got some commitment there. And let's just say that yesterday Titus decided that he's going to go flying. He drives to Batesville and he gets whatever he needs to do, rents the plane. And he gets in the plane and he goes out and does his pre-check and he takes off. And I don't know for sure about this, maybe Titus will have to fill us in, but I think when you take off an airplane, you put your throttle up and you go down the runway, you're watching stuff, and at some point, I may be wrong about this, but I believe at some point you commit to whether you're going to go ahead and take off or not. And so let's say he does that, everything's fine, and he takes off, and shortly after he takes off, the engine starts running rough. And it loses power, and he's barely flying. And so he reverts to an emergency turnaround, and he's really low to the ground, and he's having to turn around and come back and land. And it's not a fun situation that he's in. And maybe by the time he gets back, he lands on the runway, everything's fine. And yet he has broke out in a sweat, and this is really hit home about what could have happened. What do you think would have been going through Titus's mind the rest of yesterday if that had happened? I think I know what would have been going through my mind. And that is this really what I want to do? Is this... Maybe you wouldn't think for sure commitment, but is this really something I want to do? I almost didn't make it back to the airport. And is this a part of my life that I want to keep being committed to? And you can take that to hunting. There's people that climb up in deer stands for years and sit up there and deer hunt. And one day they lose balance and they fall out. There's people been hung upside down in deer stands for hours before they was rescued. And they, I'm sure, wonder, is this really what I want to do? You can go help with search and rescue and you're going to get in on stuff that makes you wonder, is this really what I want to commit to? In business, it takes commitment to make business work. If you have no commitment in business, very likely won't work. If you're working for somebody, you need to have commitment there too, or you won't be a good worker and you won't turn out well there. I remember, I don't remember how old I was riding a horse one day, and all of y'all know that I like horses. I always have liked horses from as long as I can remember. And so I liked horses, and I wanted to ride horse. And I was riding this horse one day. It was a friend of mine's horse. Hadn't been rode a whole lot. It had been rode a whole lot, but not recently. So I was just riding it for him. And I was riding down our road past our house. I was down there, and there was a ditch I needed to cross. And so I was out on the pavement, and I was going to cross this ditch with this horse. Well, the horse didn't want to cross the ditch. And so I pressured the horse to cross the ditch. I wanted to make the horse cross the ditch. Well, somewhere in there, the horse rears up and falls over backwards on the, I don't know really what all happened, on the pavement, and I hit my tailbone on the pavement. And when the horse stood up, I'm hanging off, my foot's hung in the stirrup, and I'm hanging off the other side, upside down by my boot in the stirrup. My foot's all hung up in the stirrup. I'm hanging off the other side. And so real quick, I took my other foot and shoved up on the horse's belly and pulled my foot out of my boot. And everything worked out fine. Well, I got on the horse and we rode on around. There was like a 4-mile circle that we would ride. But as I was riding around there, and I was thinking, and I was thinking of what could have happened, and I was thinking of what has happened, and there was really no good reason that that horse didn't take off running wide open, dragging me under it, and whatever. It could have turned out a lot different. And so I was thinking about that, and I remember thinking, is this really what I want to do? Do I really want to ride horse? Is it worth it? Because I knew what almost happened. And I've had a few close calls in the woods that make you wonder, make you think, is this really what you want to do? Is this really what I want to do? Do I want to stay committed to this? You can think about President Trump getting shot and hit in the ear. I would be shocked if he didn't think about, it didn't cross his mind, is this position really what I want? Do I ever want to go out in public again? It had to have affected him. Was he going to stay committed? Sometimes we decide not to be committed to a certain job anymore, or maybe a hobby. Just like some of the stuff I relayed. I had another horse. I used to want to train horses and sell them, and I had trained a few for people and never did just a whole lot of it. But I found a horse. I was young, and so you're looking for any horse that's cheap, and you want to be able to ride it and get it to riding good and resell it. And so I heard about this horse these horse traders had. It was really cheap. Maybe, I don't remember now, it was under $200. And it was a nice-looking horse. And we went down there to pick it up. I'm not sure if Brian wasn't there to help. He might have even took me down there to pick it up. And I was just a young, I don't know how old. I was in my teens. I don't really remember. But the horse traders, they was a little bit concerned about me getting this horse. And I should have seen the red flags. I should have seen them. But no, I wanted this horse, and I was going to make money with this horse. I was going to train it and get it riding. Well, we took it home, put it in a barn that I had rented, that I used to clean out stalls for him some, and I'd rented the barn, and I put him in there. And a couple days later, I went and got him out, and he was pretty jumpy, this horse was. And so I knew he wasn't just very easy going. But I got him out, I put the saddle on him, and I walked him out of the barn. And as soon as I came out of the barn, that horse took off past me running wide open like I wasn't standing there holding a lead rope. And he dragged me out across through there until he tore loose from me. And he ran out and hit the fence. He tore some fence down and acted pretty crazy. So the arena was out a ways away from where I was going to go take him to. And so I caught him back up. And I took him out there, and my brother Wendell showed up somewhere in there, and I was trying to get on this horse, and he would not let me get on him. About the time I'd try to step up on him, he would just take off bucking, just acting terrible, and I could not get him to hold still. So my brother, he thought, well, I'll hold him and you get on him. So now why I would do all that, I'm not sure. But so he held him. I got on him and he held him there for a little bit. And I said, okay, let him go. And I was just going to make him stand there. I was petting him. And, well, he started to move a little bit and I tried to get him to stop. Well, the next thing I knew, I was threw up in the corral panels and he was bucking, trying to get rid of the saddle, just crazy, a very crazy horse. So was I going to commit or was I going to change my commitment? I did convince that horse to let me ride him for a week or two, and then he went back to his old ways, and then I did change my commitment, and I took him to a sale and sold him as a bad horse. I told him that he was a bad horse. Commitment. The definition of commitment: a binding promise, obligation, or unwavering dedication to a person, cause, or course of action. Some of these things don't matter too much if we don't stay committed to them. But we do need to commit to something. There's commitments we need to have in life. Commitment is the only way we can survive physically and spiritually. Think about the church, the bride of Christ. Without commitment, the church will not stand. And without commitment, you won't make it long in the church. It takes commitment when a brother or a sister says something or does something that you take as a slam against you, whatever it is. It takes commitment to get through that. We can think about marriage. It takes commitment to make marriage work. There's so much divorce in the world. There's not much commitment out there. In the Army, commitment is very important for soldiers. They are committed to do whatever they're told to do at any cost. Let's go to Genesis 22. We'll read Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8. Genesis 22, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we know this story. We know what took place there. But Abraham had a very difficult decision to make. He had to decide if he was going to be committed to God or not. He had to decide if he was going to put God above his son Isaac. God didn't want Isaac to die either, but he was testing Abraham and Abraham's commitment. And Abraham had already been through many trials, and he had learned some things. But this test and this commitment that he was... His test of his commitment, it strengthened his commitment to serve God more and obey God more. And when you think about the ram caught in the bushes there, it told God, it told Abraham, and it tells us that God will provide for us when we commit to him, when we are committed. In Ruth 1, verse 15 to 18, Ruth 1, verse 15. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. We see here Ruth's commitment to God and his people. By choosing to return with Naomi, she wasn't headed in a direction that she'd seen security. She wasn't heading in a direction that everybody else thought was right. There was uncertainty the direction she chose. She would have been much safer, naturally speaking, if she would have stayed there in Moab. But we see later how God blessed her commitment, and she was provided for and even ended up finding a husband there. In Daniel 6, we read the story of Daniel's commitment to pray to God openly, like he always did. When he knew what decree had been made, he knew the consequences, and yet his commitment was to God, and he kept right on. Queen Esther, she showed great commitment to her people when she did what she did there to save them. She understood the risk of what she was doing. And her words were, if I perish, I perish. She was committed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was committed to the Father's will in spite of all the sufferings that was ahead of him. Joshua 24, verse 15, and this is when Joshua was talking to the children of Israel. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was committed to serve God, and he lived by that commitment. Our commitment to God will show in how we live. And sometimes we'll likely change something that we're doing in life because of our commitment to God. Commitment is making a promise of future action even when things get rough. Commitment is giving over to God your plans and behavior. Commitment is not only about being persistent and striving to do better, but also about letting God be God and determining the outcomes in our life. You know, Nathan reminded us this morning of the goodness of God. And we believe that. We're always taught that. And we believe that God is good all the time. But reality is, God does not feel good all the time. And commitment is the only nail that holds us when we don't feel God's goodness. And sometimes that nail feels like it's pulling out. John 12, verse 25 says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." True commitment is keeping God and his word above anything we might want or desire. Am I committed to living for God no matter what happens? Committed to do whatever it takes to keep my relationship with God? In Numbers 29, verse 1, it tells of a holiday that God implemented to his children, the Israelites, to observe, to renew their commitment to him and their worship. If we're feeling distant from God and low on commitment, maybe we need to take a spiritual holiday. Get distant from our daily activities that are in our way. Whatever it takes. Maybe it's not that drastic, but do whatever it takes to get more committed. Get our commitment back where it needs to be. focus on renewing our commitment to God. Without commitment, we'll never make it to heaven. It takes commitment as a young Christian. When you become a Christian, it takes commitment. And it takes commitment your whole life. And I'm sure that Verton would tell us today, it takes commitment at his age. And it will take commitment when you're my dad's age, up in the 80s. It will take commitment. Commitment's the only way. Commitment when things don't feel right. And God will reward that. In closing, Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Psalms 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's stand for prayer.